Alright, so we'll be doing these sugyas of Din de Yomi, which really we spent months on, probably 2.5 months, 3 months close to. And it all started, just to give us context about why we even got into the sugyas of Din de Yomi, is because our Mishnah starts off, Ashutfin Shiratsu Asos Mechitza, right, where they want to go ahead and build the Mechitza. So the Gemara, right away, off the bat, starts to ask, what does that mean, Mechitza? What does a Mechitza mean? So it's Macholgas, obviously we know that it's Macholgas as to whether it means a wall or if it means Pagusa, just to divide and to have their lands divided to be separate. So Gemara brings the Braisa from Baba Kama and Nafkof that speaks about Mechitza Zakarim Shinefritza and tries to use that as a raya that Mechitza means wall, that means Guda. So why is, what is the sugya of Mechitza Karam Shinir? So what is the case? The case is where a person owns a vineyard, or he owns grapes, and there's a wall separating him and his neighbor's property, which has tzvuah, it has some grain, has some wheat, barley, whatever it may be, and all of a sudden, it's Mechitza Karam Shinir. So the Mechitza, the wall, breaks, and now the vineyard, the guy's Karam, the Baal Karam, start to go into the tzvuah, and now we have an Isser of Kilayim. So the Gemara there in Baba Kama paskins like Rabbi Meir that the Baal Kerem, which later on we're going to see, it's a whole sugyan of itself why we say the Baal Kerem is going to be chayev al mazik, and it's not going to be al nizak the Baal Tzvua, but he's going to be the one that's going to be chayev to go ahead and to pay. Why? So Gemara says because we paskin like Rabbi Meir who's dying din de garmi, that he's chayev mishum din de garmi. What is the sugyan of din de garmi? It's indirect damage. What does that mean? It's indirect damage. So the Gemara's case over there with Rabbi Meir is the case of burning a shtar. A person has a shtar that's worth $100 and someone goes ahead and burns it. So are you only chayev to pay the actual money of the value of the actual shtar itself, that $1, welcome Milan, that one we just started, that $1, or is he going to be chayev to go and pay for the actual $100 that the shtar represented? All right, so done, didn't agree, it's an indirect damage. You burning the shtar now was mafsid the guy who had that shtar to be able to collect the $100 that he would have had. So that's where the sugya of Dina Degarmi, and the Gemara here by Mechitza Karam Shinifritza also says this is indirect damage because you're going ahead, the Baal Karam, the vineyard's going and damaging the Tzvua, which becomes Asher Ba'ana, and now it's damaging, so it's done, Dina Degarmi, and therefore you're going to be Chayiv L'Shalim. So the question of the sugya is brought down by the Ramban in his Kutch Dina Degarmi, which is the following kasha. He says, why are we running to put the sugya of Mechitza Karam Shinifritza into Dina Degarmi? Why is this a sugya of din de garmi, of indirect damage? What should this simply be? This should be a case of mamon mazik, right? It should be just how, if someone's shore is mazik, if a person has an animal, right, and their shore, they forgot to unlock their barn, and their shore goes out and runs and starts to damage another person's property. So everyone knows, mishum mamon, it's hezek mamon, you're going to be chayav l'shalim, mishum hezek mamona. Not because of din de garmi, because it's indirect, because it wasn't you physically, but your animal, your mamon is part of you, it's an extension of you. You let your animal go out and loose and start to damage. So to here we should say mechitza karam shinifritza. This is not a case of din de garmi. This is a case where you allow your karam, you allow your vineyard to go and damage. It's like you let your shore go out and damage. So you should now go ahead and be chay mishum mamon amazik, not mishum din de garmi. So that's the kasha of the Ramban. So we spent probably 2 weeks almost just trying to understand the kasha of the Ramban. What does that mean? What's this havamina that we're trying to compare this karam amazik to shore amazik? That it's the equivalent of that your kerem, your vineyard going and damaging the tefuah is similar to your shore going and damaging another person's property where you're not chai mishum dina degarmi, but you're chai mishum omen amazik. So Divrei Yecheskel is the one that asked this kasha, and we start to go through the different types of shor hamaziks that possibly could have been the intention of the Ramban who's trying to equate kerem mazik to be equaling shor hamazik. So we're going to end up striking out. We're going to go 0-3 in our three tries to be able to understand what shor hamazik we're trying to compare the karam hamazik to. So if you want to first try to learn that it's maybe a keren, right, where your animal is going to go out and he's going to damage someone using his thorns and he's going to gore someone. Well, wait a second. That can't be. Because the Rush brings down that if someone has a shor hamazik and it damages someone's property, and then he decides to make the animal, that shor, hefker, and not belong to him, he is off the hook. He does not have to pay anymore. He's not chayav of l'shalim. Why? Because the din is when it comes to shor of keren, you have to own the nezek from beginning to end. And therefore, once you make your shor hefker, once you now say, I don't own the shor, I have no shaykh to the shor anymore, even though it already damaged when it was under your rishus, now that you made the shor hefker, you're now pater l'shalim, because you have to own the nezek from the beginning to the end of the damage. So says Divrei Yecheskel, if that's true, it can't be that the Ramban was asking his kasha from keren mazik to mamon mazik, because guess what? what's going to happen when your Karam goes and hits the Tefillah of the other guy? There's going to be an Isra and Al that's created. And when there's an Isra and Al that's created, you're no longer the Baal of the Karam because you don't own Isra Hana. Again, that's an assumption because the Ravid there, to Machlokas, between the Ravid and others, but the Ravid in the all believes, and he's the opinion, that a person doesn't have Baal, doesn't own Isra Hana, because he says that you're not allowed to use an Esruk Shal Orla on the first day of Sukkot because it's going to be a Chisar Lachem. Because the Orla is a Aser Ba'ana. So if you're going to try to use an Esrik Shul Orla, that's not going to be right. It's not going to be a Chisar Lachem. You're not going to be able to use it. So using this Raibah that a person doesn't own Isra Ana. So the second the Kerem goes and is now making the Isra climb with the Tua, so you don't own the Kerem anymore. You don't own the Nezek. You don't own the thing that's damaging from beginning to end. So you're going to be putter, just like you'd be putter by Shor Mazik when the Baal decides to go and be Mafgrid, because he doesn't own it from beginning to end. So it can't be that he's trying to be compared to Shor Karen. And it also can't be that we're trying to compare it to Shor of Regal and Shane. Right? Was he going to go and stomp on the guy's property, or is he going to go and eat your animal's going to go and eat? Why is that not also comparable? Why can't it be that that's the Shor Mazik that we're trying to compare to over here? Because the Mishnah in Baba Kama and Hey tells us that you're going to be putter if your animal, let's say you have an animal that goes onto your roof, and it jumps from your roof into the other guy's property and starts to do rego, starts to do shade, starts to damage and stop on the field and starts to eat from the field. So we say you're putter. Why? Because that's an onus. In the onus gadol mizeh. And when a person is ba'onus and he's not pushay mitchilos hanezek, he's not negligent from the beginning of the damage, then he's off the hook. He's not going to be chayav for shade and rego. And therefore, when is a person chayav for shein regel? What's like the classic case when a person's chayav for shein regel? It's when a person doesn't lock his barn. If you don't lock your barn, and all of a sudden now your animal goes and runs out and damages it and does shein regel, so that's when you're going to be chayav. Why? Because you're poshei and mechilas hanizek. You were negligent from the beginning. So Yitzhak, welcome. Yeah, so we just started. Don't worry. You're now negligent from the Peshiyah, from the Tchilas Anizek, right? From the second you now decide to leave your barn unlocked. So now, there you go. You're going to go ahead and be chayav in such a case. Only if it's going to be onus, only if it's like your animal jumps off your roof and starts to damage, so then you're off the hook because you weren't negligent from the beginning of the damage. So it also can't be Shein Regal. Because in this situation, of the Chizek Karam Shenifritza, were you Poshayim in Tchilas Anizek? Absolutely not. What happened? You were living fine for however many years you were. You had your wall that was there. It was up there. It was strong. There was no Isra climb happening. And all of a sudden, the wall decides to fall down. In the chalon is gadol mizeh. It's compared to your animal jumping on your roof and going to the other guy's property. So you shouldn't be chayv for any hezek over there. You shouldn't be. You should be completely putter if we're learning to learn by regular and chain. Because the kerem falling was an onus, and you're not chayv for onus in shegel v'rein. It's only later on that you're posheya when you now decide not to build a wall. But even so, that doesn't matter because you have to be posheya mitzchilas nizik. It's like unlocking the barn. From the beginning of time, you have to have been negligent. And therefore, it can't be we're 0-3. As we said, we're going to go 0-3. We're going to strike out here. It can't be that you're chayav mishum keren or mishum regel or shein. So we still don't understand. At the end of the day, the Rabban was asking this kasha. We have to understand the Rabban's kasha. We still didn't answer it about why is mechitz keren shnifritza, why is it not mamon amazah? Why is this dina digarmi? So what is the mamon amazah that we're trying to compare it to? So the Rebbe Chesek goes and says, it must be, it's hezek esh, hezek of fire. What is hezek of esh? So Gemara and Baba Kama and Chav Gimel, as a machlokes, as to, is hezek b'esh a hezek b'edayim or is hezek b'mamon? There's two ways to look at hezek b'esh. Right? You can look at hezek b'esh as, on the one hand, it is a dime, you lit the fire, it's coming from your kalach. So it's like you punching a guy, it's ishu mishum chetzo, you shooting the arrow, it's your kalach. But the other hand, it also seems like it could be mishum mamono. It's like, you did light it, but you lit it in one area, and now it's going to go and spread with the wind and damage someone else. It's not actually your yadayim. So we end up posking in the Gemara that we view hezek esh mishum chetzo, ishu mishum chetzo. We say that it is as if it's your kalach. However, everyone agrees that a person lights a fire, and let's say the Lashon HaRebbe, a fireproof field, whatever that means. So then it's going to be mishum mamono, because when you lit that fire, so your intention wasn't that now you're going to do a hezek b'edayim, because you knew it was going to be stopped. It was going to be prevented by the wall, by the fireproof thing. So now that it falls, and you decide not to go and build the wall again, and to make sure to prevent the fire, so that's what we're going to say, that's hezek mishum mamono of hezek esh. Now you're going to be responsible that you let it go into the other person's field. So we say, the Dibri Chesed says, that's the Shor HaMazik that the Ramban is bothered by. Why is this Dina de Garmia and it's not Mamon HaMazik? Because the same thing by the case of Karen, which is where what? you go ahead and you have your mechitza that's right there, and the mechitza goes ahead and falls, and you deciding not to go ahead and build the mechitza is now you deciding not to go ahead and fix the wall by the fire, making you now chayav mishum hezek mamon. So that's the comparison of mamon amazik to karam amazik. That seemingly just how you're going to be chayav hezek mishum ish for not building your wall, for letting it go through. So too, you should be chayav mishum hezek b'ish of you allowing your vineyard, your grape, to go into the other person's property and not building the mechitza. Is everyone clear now with the kasha of the Ramban and how we understand why the Ramban was bothered as to why this is dealing with the Gemini and not just a simple hezek mamon of hezek b'ish? Yeah? We're good? Good. So, and again, just as an aside, a very cool thing, if you actually look at the Ramban, the Kritz's dealing with the Gemini, so he compares it to shor hezek, not hezek b'ish. So how do we deal with that issue? Like, it's great. We went over three with short, but now we're trying to answer with hezek ish. That makes sense. That was his kasha. But at the end of the day, he said short hezek. So how is this hezek ish? So Gemara there in Baba Kama Chav Gimel, it compares isha mishum chetzo to short delo tavach ba'afet, where you didn't lock up the barn. So we see that hezek ish is compared to short hezek also. So therefore, everything's handy dandy over there, hunky dory, as Rabbi would like to say, and that's why that's the Ramban's kasha is why it's. Not Hezek Mamon, like Hezek Mishum Eish, and instead we're falling down to Dina Digarmi. So now we have to answer the Kasha. Now we understand the Kasha. Why Kaka is this Dina Digarmi? And it's not Hezek Mamon like Hezek Eish, as we completely just made this comparison. So we have two answers. And again, I'm not giving all the fancy like tangents and the nafamis that we gave, really just like the sodas of these sugars we're going to go through. So hopefully we can like really just contextualize like the what went on here over these past few months, because the Gemara is a very complicated sugya with a lot of tangents, but we're going to try to bring it all together to see this beautiful puzzle that comes out here. So now we want to understand, so why Taga is Mechitzas Karam Shenirpitza, why is that going to be Dina Digarmi and not going to be Hezek Mamon Mishum Eish? So we have two answers. First answer is brought down by the Ramban, by the Ri, which is that when do we say Hezek Eish is a Hezek Mishum Mamono? That's because the second the fire goes into the other person's field, there's instant damage that's happening, and that damage is the only thing that's causing. The fire damaging the other person's property is what's causing the hezek to happen. But over here, there's something else that needs to take place. You have to have nichus of the bialim. You have to have the machshava that you want to be mekayim klaim, that the baal has to say, I want this isher klaim to be taking place. Only then do we say that there's an isher klaim that kicks in. So therefore, it's dina digarmi, because it's not compared to ish, because ish, the fire damages, and that's it. There's nothing else that has to accompany it. Over here, yeah, the karam is going into the other person's property, but now you have to have a machshava to be mekayim. And when you have a machshava, so that's dina digarmi. That's going to be indirect, because now it was the damage, plus your machshava that you want to be mekayim, and chus the bailim, and that's why it's going to be done dina digarmi, which again, we then asked the kasha, but I don't understand. Don't we know that machshava should be putter? Machshava is grama, and it should be potter from paraduma. Because what's the case of paraduma? A person, let's say, wants to bring a paraduma out to go nurse in the field, and he has machshava that he actually wants it to thresh and to do a voda and to do work. So we say he's going to be potter. He's going to be off the hook. Why? Because grama mizikin is potter. The person only had machshava that it's going to do a voda, and the second a paraduma does a voda, so now he's possible to be used as a paraduma. So this guy was now mafsid this entire paraduma to be able to be used as a paraduma, but it only came about because of his machshava. He wanted it to nurse, but his machshava was that it was also going to work. And we said that you're potter in such a case. So we asked him, really, I don't understand this. So too over here, this machshava shouldn't make you now chayav mishum din digarmi if we know that machshava for hezek makes you potter. And seemingly, then we had a kasha also by Pigel, and because Pigel, we say that you are going to be that the Kohen is going to be chayev. But why is the Kohen going to be chayev by Pigel? Shouldn't he be potter because it's Grandma's machshava that he wanted to have in mind not to go and do the shoot the bechutz or whatever or eat the bechutz? So why would we say if we just learned this whole vort that Grandma the machshava is going to be potter? Why do we say Pigel you're going to be chayev? So we gave two answers according to Tosfos Rosh, because Dibor is Kamaisa. And Pigel is not actually done with Machshava, it's done with Dibor, and Dibor is Kamaisa. The Ramban, for different reasons, disagrees and holds that Dibor is not Kamaisa, so he has to go on a different answer, and he says because the actual, but Pigel is not actually Machshava, it's the actual Maisa Shchita that accompanies the Pigel, and that's why you're going to be Chayev. So at the end of the day, we're still back to, we don't really fully understand this first answer of the Re, because seemingly, Grama B'Machshava should make you Putter. And why now is the Ramban invoking the machshava aspect here of being Mekayim Mekayim to now say that you're going to be Chayiv, Yishuv Din Digarmi? So maybe at the end there was an answer that I presented to Rebbe, and Rebbe was masking to it, but not for now. It's a tangent. So we're trying to do Chazar here. So if people want to hear the answer, then maybe we can answer the first answer of the read. So I'd love to be able to share it with you afterwards, especially because we end up going down this first answer because we're going to reject the second answer later, as we'll see. So what was the second answer? The Ramban by the Yesh HaOmrim. So Ramban says, because when do we say it's a Hezek Eish, a Hezek Mamon? That's when it's a instantaneous, one direct damage. The fire comes and damages, nothing else is accompanying it. But over here, by Mechitz Kerem Shnevritza, there's two things going on. It's a two-step Hezek process. You have the Kerem going and combining with the Tzvuah, right, with the grain. And then an Isra Anah from the Olomos HaLeonim comes and attaches itself to it. That makes it now Asr Ba'anah and a damage. But before the Isra Anah came, so just the mere fact that you had the Kerem combining with the Tzvuah wasn't a hezek. It didn't make it, nothing was wrong with that inherently. It's only because the Isra Anah then later comes on and tacks onto it that we're going to go ahead and say that this now, you're mafsh to the guy because there's an Isra Anah now of damage of Klai Kerem. So that's when Ramban Yishomim say that this is going to be Din and Digarmi. Because this is a two-step hezek process. We have a two-step hezek process where first you have the action that the kerem goes and combines with the tefuah, and then plus on top of that, now you have the isra anah that attaches to it. So that's din digarmi, and that's why the Ramban tries to answer as to why this sugya b'chilas kerem shnevritza is going to be done din digarmi, and it's not going to be hezek mishum amonu. Either number one because of the re, because it's taloi on machshava, and when it's machshava, so it's din digarmi, it's considered indirect, or because it's a two-step hezek process. However, the Ramban ends up not liking his second answer at all. Why does the Ramban not like his second answer of the Yesh HaOmrim? Because to understand the second answer of the Yesh HaOmrim, you have to be learning that the Chitz of the Kerem Shnevritza is a Hezek She'eino Nikar. Why? Because by definition, you're saying that there's a two-step Hezek process. You have the Kerem combined with the Tzvuah, and then in Yesh HaOmrim, that now creates the Pseida, because now it's going to be Yesh HaOmrim, you're no longer allowed to use it. So what caused the pseida? It wasn't the damage of the kerem to the tefuah. It was this isra anah that came and attached to it later on. Last time I checked, did anyone see an isra anah? No. That's a hezek she'eino nikar. So to be able to invoke the second answer of the Ramban Yesh HaOmrim, you have to be learning that the chitz kerem shnevritza is a hezek she'eino nikar. And the Ramban is not willing to accept that the sugya of the chitz kerem shnevritza is really a hezek she'eino nikar. Why is that? So this is where I'm really going to try to put the puzzle together of all the different pieces that we had floating around to show that the Ramban couldn't physically learn the Chitz of Kerem Shnevritza to be a Hezek She'eino Nikar. So why is that? Why is that? So let's figure this out. Because the Gemara in Gittin, the Gimel, tells us that Hezek She'eino Nikar is Pater B'Shogeg, but Hezek She'eino Nikar is going to be Chayiv B'Mezeg. So a person damages in an Eino Nikar way, B'Shogeg, everyone agrees you're going to be Pater. If you're going to damage Hezek She'eino Nikar way, the Mezid, you're going to be Chayiv. Now, the Shaila is, what if a person was Poshea? What if he was negligent? Is that considered more like you're Shogig? Or is that considered more like you're going to be the Mezid? So, the Ramban learns that a Poshea is Kishogig. And therefore, if a person is going to be Poshea by Hezek She'eino Nikar, you're going to be Pater. Because Poshea is Kishogig, and Hezek She'eino Nikar B'Shogig is Pater. So now, how does the Ramban know that Hezek that Poshea is Kishogig? So he has two rayas, one from the Gemara Bava Kama Tadik test of Tavash Shekoko. If you have a Shogig that goes ahead and ends up messing up the Shechita, so the Ramban there asks Akasha, why do we say that you're going to be Chayav? Why is the Tevach, why is the Shogig Chayav for messing up over here? Isn't this a Hezek She'eino Nikar? And he was Poshea in this case, right? A Shogig didn't bemez and mess up the Shechita. At the same time, he wasn't Beshogig because he should have known what to do. He spent years in yeshiva learning how to do it. So this guy was Poshea, this guy was negligent. And what's the Ramban's Kasha? Why is he Chayav? Mashma, that Poshea is Keshogig. And therefore, Hezek She'eino Nikar of the Shechita should really make him Potter. So that's why, so we see that the Ramban learns that a Poshea is Keshogig. So the fact that he asked the Kasha of why does the Gemara say that Tevach Uman Shekoko is going to be Chayav? If seemingly you should be Patri here because it's Hezek She'eino Nikar, Hezek She'eino Nikar by Poshea, which is the Tevach case, is Keshogig and therefore should be Patri. The other raya is from the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Kuf between Rabbi Elazar and Rish Lakish about how much the money is worth. And the Gemara there says that Rabbi Elazar would be Chayav to go and pay Rish Lakish if he ends up giving him the wrong value. So the Ramban there in the Kunjah Din Digarmi says, oh, Zemif and Dor, that Din Digarmi is a Din Deraisa. Because had it not have told us this Gemara, what would we have said? We would have said that Rabbi Lazar was going to be Putter because he would have been Poshea in this situation. And everyone knows Poshea is Kishogig. And this is a hedge of shame and vicar because he didn't know what the value was going to be. No one realizes that he was actually mobster just by him saying these words to him about how much it was worth. And therefore, it should have been hedge of shame and vicar, poshek, kishogi, putter. So therefore, the Gemara has to go out of the way to tell you that Rabbi Elazar would be chayev to tell me that din of the Gemara is a din diaraisa. So we see that what Rabban learns, hezek she'ino nikker by a poshaya is going to go ahead and be considered kishogig, and therefore you'd be pater. As a result, if the Ramban would be learning chitzas a kerem shnifritza to be a sugya of hezek she'ino nikker, well then guess what? Even if you tell the guy omer lo gador, so now you make him poshaya for not building the wall, so poshaya is kishogig in the Ramban's book, and last time I checked, do the equation, hezek she'ino nikker of a posheya, which is kishoge, is putter, because you're putter kishoge. So the Ramban would be looking at the sugya and say, the Baal Kerem is not high enough to pay anything, because this is a classic case of hezek she'ino nikker kishoge, which you're putter in. So the Ramban is sitting there and he's looking at this, he's like, I can't possibly say that this is a hezek she'ino nikker, because if he does, then there would be no chiyuv for the Baal Kerem to pay anything, because he'd be putter. So that's why the Ramban learns this sugya to be of a hezek she'ino nikker. And because the Ramban learned Mechitzah Kerem Shnirvitzah to be a Hezek Shniker, he can't learn the second answer of the Ramban Yesh Omrim. Why? Because the Ramban Yesh Omrim's answer of why this is Dina Degarmi is because of a two-step Hezek process. And you only have a two-step Hezek process if you're learning the Sugya to be a Hezek She'en Onikr. Because the Truah and the Kerem combine, and then this Isra Na attaches to it. But the Ramban says, no, it's not a Hezek She'en Onikr where you're seeing this Isra Na come from nowhere. This is a Hezek She'nikr. It's Gufa, the Tfu and the Karen that are combined that's being the Mazik. And therefore, he can't say the second answer of the Ramban Yesh Omrim, and he learns like the first answer of the Re, that why is this a Sugya of Dina D'Yarmi? It's because this is combined with Machshava. That at the end of the day, you need Nechus the Bailam, you need the Baal Karen to also admit that he wants this Klai Karen to take place. So therefore, the Ramban learns Chitza Karen She'nikr to be a Sugya in Hezek Shinikr, rejects the second answer because now it's not a two-step Hezek process, and he's forced to now learn that Din Degarmi is when it's combined now with this Machshava. The Rambam, though, learns that Poshaya is Kamezit. He doesn't ask that Kashmir the Gemara Bobakama Tzadik Tess. He's fine. He's okay with the Gemara saying he's Chayiv. He learns Poshit. A Poshaya is Kamezit. And therefore, the Ramban could happily learn this Sikya to be a Mechitz Kam Shefetza to be a Hezek Shein or Nikr. Because great, this is a Hezek Shein or Nikr. Now we're going to tell the guy Gador. The guy doesn't do it. He's Poshaya. Poshaya is Kamezit. He's Chayiv to pay. So it makes sense according to the Rambam. So now that we know why the tension, this is it's a beautiful puzzle how everything's cut. Now that we know why the Ramban was forced to learn that it's a Hezek Shnicker, and why the Ramban was able to learn that this is a Hezek Shnicker, so the question is, okay, so how are they viewing what makes Hezek Shnicker, what makes Hezek Shnicker? So that's why, what does the Rambam and Rashi say, what makes a Hezek Shnicker, Hezek Shnicker? So Rashi, Rebbe pointed this out to me on Daf Hey, when he's trying to define what a Hezek She'inu Nikr is, Rashi says a Hezek She'inu Nikr is the Lo Chaser. It's not Chaser. Which is Mashma. What's a Hezek She'inu Nikr? When it is Chaser, where you see there is something that changed, something that got removed. And therefore, Rav and Rashi view what makes something Hezek She'inu Nikr, Hezek She'inu Nikr, it's whether you're going to walk a guy into the scene and you're going to say, do you see damage that's happening? Right? Is something Chaser? Do you see something got damaged? And if the guy says, I don't see anything, Hezek She'inu Nikr. If the guy says, oh, I see a damage. Yeah, I see a guy took a baseball bat and smashed the car. Okay, that's going to be now a Hezek She'inu Nikr. But if the guy doesn't even realize that there's something happening here, so it's a Hezek She'inu Nikr. And therefore, the Rambam and Rashi, they're learning this sugya Mechitz Kerem Shnifritzah as Hezek She'inu Nikr. Because you bring a guy, and you're going to bring him into a field of Klai Kerem, and you're going to say, look at this, look what's happening. You got a vineyard going into Tzvuah. Do you see how creative this is? The guy's going to look at you and he's going to say, wow, it's a beautiful sight. Look how beautiful the grapes are combining with the Tzvuah. This is so nice. He doesn't see damage. A Jew sees damage because he realizes there's in the almost like, oh, there's an Israel. No, Tzvuah. A guy doesn't see any damage happen. It's like a regular nice B'chol Yom. He's just walking by a field. He doesn't see any damage. So that's why the Rambam says, this is a classic case of Hezek She'inu Nikr. A guy can't even see this. And why is the Rambam even able to say this? Because he learns that Poshaya is Kamezit, and therefore, when we're going to tell him Omelog Gador, he's going to go ahead and still have to go and pay. But then Ramban, again, he has to learn that it's a Hezek Shnicker, because if he learns it's Hezek She'inu Nikr, Poshaya is Kishogim, he can be punter. So then why has the Ramban understand that this is a Hezek Shnicker? What makes this a Hezek Shnicker? So Ramban says, because Hezek Shnicker does not define by what a guy could see or not. How do you define what makes a Hezek Shnicker? So Ramban says, it's if it's Nikr La'ayin, you could actually see that there is a physical change in Metzias that took place. Plus, supplemented, that's something that is permanent. It's something that it's going to take a long time for you to unravel. And how does the Ramban get to this? That's how the Ramban answers his kasha. How we got into this in the beginning of Tevachu Machikilkel, right? The Ramban answers his kasha by saying, "So why talk are you chayev if you should be punter in this case? Because pshia is kishogi." The Ramban answers because this is actually a hezek shenikar. When the shochet messes up, it's a hezek shenikar. How's the hezek shenikar? Again, side point tangent that we went on about the five different types of shechita and is it really nikar or not? But the Ramban says at the end of the day, everyone sees the animal is dead. So something happened. Something physically happened. And therefore, l'chulyama, everyone's going to agree, there's a hezek shenikar. And that's something that it's kind of hard to take away that nickerness. Everyone realizes that the animal is dead. So says the Ramban, so too over here, Chitz Karam Shnefritzah, there's also a hezek shenikar. Why? Because at the end of the day, something physically happened in the world. Kerem, a vineyard, went to tzvul. They came together. And on top of that, what's supplementing it? It's going to take a long time for you to try to unravel that Metzias that just took place. If you want to try to get rid of it, you either have to build a wall or you have to go and take your shovel and dig out the and separate from, by more than almost the kerem and the tzvuah. So that's why according to Ramban, this is a hezek shenikar, because it's not defined by could a guy see it or not, because the guy can't see it. But says Ramban, it doesn't matter if a guy could see it or not can't see it. The Ramban just wants to know, is it nikar la'ayim? Do eyes actually see that something happened? You see kerem and you see tzvuah, they combined it, and it takes you a long time to unravel. And that's why the Ramban also is not bothered by sugya of matame taharos, because if a person takes a mouse and puts it on taharos, right? Seemingly what? Seemingly that also should be a hezek shein or nikar, right? You know, a guy doesn't see anything happening. That's just a tumma tahara. You don't really see that's happening. The Ramban says, no. Why is that going to be a hezek shein or nikar? Right? Why is this not hezek shein nikar? Because at the end of the day, something physically happened, right? You see the mouse coming onto the taharos, so it should be like you see the kerem going onto the tzvuah. So that's where the Ramban's mechalik, and he says, no, because that's not permanent. In 2 seconds, you can remove the mouse away. So in 2 seconds, it's not there. So it's not strong enough to be nicker. Even though there's something that physically happens, again, it's essential that there's supplemented with it that it's also a permanent physical thing. Like the Chitz Karam Shnifritzah, where now the tzvuah and the kerem are intermingled, unless you're going to go and build a wall, you're going to try to be ochre. But when it comes to the mouse placing onto the taharos, so then in 2 seconds you unravel, and that's why it's still going to be a hezek shein or nikar, which the Gemara goes and says. How does Tosfos learn the sugya? That's Ramban, Rambam, Rashi, how they touch up their different opinions. So Tosfos is very similar to the Ramban, but it differs in the extra thing that you have to supplement it with. We don't know that. What I mean is as follows. Tosfos also learns Mechitzas Karam Shnifritzah to be a hezek shein nikar. He doesn't learn it like the Rambam and Rashi that it's hezek shein or nikar because a guy can't see it. He also doesn't care about whether a guy can see or a guy can't see. What is the focus of Tosfos? Tosfos says a hezek shein nikar is when it's nikar la'ayin. It's when something could physically be seen. So kerem and tzvuah is physically seen that it's mixing, and it's automatic. It's an automatic hezek. The second it's going to go ahead and mix it together, you're going to have this isser of la'ayin. Ah, then what about Matame Taharos? We're back with that same mouse case that's trying to haunt us. Isn't that then also, how is that a hezek shein or nikar? Isn't that automatic? Don't we see that something physically happened, the mouse goes on to the Taharos, and then we still say that's a hezek shein or nikar? So what does Tosfos say their answer? He says, no, because that's not automatic. This is his word. By in that situation, who says that the Taharos was Hoshel Lekawatumah? Maybe it wasn't Hoshel Lekawatumah, and therefore you could put the mouse on it all day long, and there's no issue happening. So he says that's the chalak between the Ramban and Tosfos. It's very doctristic, but that's the difference. They both hold that hezek shenikar versus hezek shein nikar is not totally on whether a guy can see it or not. It's there needs to be something that physically happened. So you have that by mechitzas karam shnifritzah. You have that by the karam and the tzvuah combining. Something physically happened. Where do they differ? What the supplement has to be. The Ramban says, what's the supplement? It has to be that it's like permanent. And therefore, because it's a permanent, unless you're like locker, you build a wall, so that's a hezek shein nikar, which is not by the matan at the house, because you can easily remove the mouse. Tosfos says, no, it's automatic. Chizik Ha'am Shein Fritzah, the tefuah combines with the kerem, there you go, isser klayim hana, automatic. But when it comes to the matan at the house, it's not necessarily automatic, because who says it's hokshur l'kabatoma? And we made two aros. Rav Chana Wasserman asked Kasha on Tosfos, and he says, first of all, didn't we just learn that you need Nechus the Bailin to create this climb of Klai Karim? So why in the world are you telling me that it's automatic also? Maybe the tool could hit the Karim all day long, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be Isser Ahana already of Klaim, because maybe the Baal wasn't Ola Das that he wanted this to happen. So it's not automatic. Tarkin Yehuda, Rav Chanan asked, I asked this to Rebbe wanted to try to answer, just as a side point, this is like, just like fun things to know. bonus for coming to the Chazar Shir. No, thank you. Which is that he says Tzvei Dinim by the Isser of Klai Karim. Maybe there's an Isser to just be Mekai and Klein, just to have Klein in your backyard. And in addition, on top of it, which is when there's Nechus the Bailim, where the Bailim want the Klai Karim to happen, where then the Isser Na comes and attaches to it. So therefore, yeah, it's still important for you to make sure to get rid of the Klai Karim in your backyard, because there's an Isser of to be Mekai and Klein. Okay, so those are the three main ways of learning about Mechitzas Karim Shnei Pitzot. So the Rambam and Rashi learn, again, that it is a Hezek Sheh Eino Nikr, because you can't see it. The Ramban and Tosos learn it's Hezek Sheh Nikr, because something physically happened. Again, the Ramban supplemented with that it's permanent. Tosos supplemented that it is automatic. And we're now going to go, and by understanding these Yesodos, why we have to say in the Gemara, why we have to say Omer L'Gedor. Why do we have to now go and tell the Baal Karim to go and build this wall? So we alluded to this earlier. According to the Rambam, it's Pashut. Why is it Pashut? According to the Rambam, it's Pashut because we just explained Hezek She'eino Nikr. He learned Mechitzas Karim Shnei Pitzot to be Hezek She'eino Nikr, and he learned that Poshea is Kemezid. And therefore, when we say Omer L'Gedor, and the guy doesn't Gedor, he doesn't build his fence, so now he's Chayav to pay, he's Chayav L'Shalom. So Omer L'Gedor is going to be telling him that he now has to pay. So why, according to Tosos, who learns that it's a Hezek She'eino Nikr, why is he going to be, why do we have to tell him Omer L'Gedor? Even if we don't tell him Omer L'Gedor, if you're shogeg by a Hezek She'eino Nikr, so you're going to be chayav no matter what. So what's the point of telling him Omer L'Gedor? If a Hezek She'eino Nikr, you're chayav, you're going to be shogeg. So the Ramban brings in quotes Rabbi Yonah, who tries to answer for Tosos, to say that Tidin Degarmi is a Knas Derabanan, right? Don't forget, this whole sugya of Mechitzas Karim Shnei Pitzot we just explained earlier is Dinu Degarmi because of the Machshava Shabbat, because it's also added with the Machshava. And therefore, says Ramban, because Dinu Degarmi, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, because Dinu Degarmi is a Knas Derabanan, everyone knows, Lo Kansu Shogi got to Mezid. We don't make someone be Chayv L'Shalim a Knas B'Shogi because maybe he's going to do it B'Mezid. And therefore, if you're going to go and we have to go ahead and tell him Gedor to make him easy, to make him go ahead and be now Mechayev to pay the Knas Midirabon and all of Dinu Degarmi. Wait a second. That fits well with the Tosfos. But what according to the Ramban himself? Because the Ramban himself learns that Dinu Degarmi is a Din Deraisa, right? He learned the whole kutras of Dinu Degarmi is telling us that Dinu Degarmi is a Din Deraisa. And the Ramban also learns that Mechitzas Karim Shnei Pitzot is a Hezek Sheh Nikr. So then even Bishoge, you're going to be Chayev to pay. So why do we have to tell him Omer L'Gedor according to the Ramban? That's the answer is because we want to go ahead and we want to tell him Omer L'Gedor to create the Isser Klayim, because that's going to be the thing that allows the Isser the Nechus the Bailim that he wants to be Mekayimus. Why do you have to tell him that? Because otherwise the Baal Karim could have made a good time and said, oh, I didn't realize it was my responsibility to build this wall. I thought the Baal Tzvua had to chip in with me. So therefore we're going to say no, we're not going to let you have that excuse. We're going to go and we're going to tell him Gedor. And now when he refuses to, so now that's an Yisrael Shul Bailim, that's him himself is being Mishayish, and that's going to go ahead and create the Yisrael Klayim for the Ramban, and that's why we have to tell him Omer L'Gedor. Rabbi Swolsky, now again, a quick aura, if we're holding chlor here, we're going to be able to pick up the gallus of Moreno Rabbeinu of Swolsky Shlita. He says, if you think about it, Rabbeinu Yonah's answer for Tosfos shouldn't really work, because we just learned that the Rehor holds that Poshea is Kishogeg. Right, from the prior sugya of Tavash Umar Shikogo. So it's really true that a Poshea is Kishoge. And we said that the Tosfos was bothered, that it's Hezek Sheh Nikr, and Rabbeinu Yonah wanted to answer, oh, so why do we have to tell him Gedor? Because it's a Din Degarmi is just a Knas Midrabanan, so we tell him Omer L'Gedor to now make him Poshea and Amazed. So he says, what? Telling him Omer L'Gedor is going to make him Poshea and Kamezid to now be Chayav Al Din Degarmi? That's not true. The Re holds that Poshea is Kishoge. So great, we're going to go and tell him Omer L'Gedor. So now he's Poshea, but he's Kishogeg, so we should be Putter. So we're back to square one of it, and it's like just a Knas Midrabanan, and you're not Chayav to pay for a Knas if you're going to be Kishogeg. So we didn't answer the Re's Kasha, if you really think about it, because it's so the other Re. So that's why Rebbe wanted to answer that. Maybe you have to say that the Re holds that Din Degarmi is a Din Deraisa, like the Ramban, Taka. It's a Din Deraisa. So then why the head do we have to say Omer L'Gedor? Because now that we're learning that it's a Din Deraisa, we just have to get him to be chayiv to be any kind of mazik on a Din Deraisa level. And that's even b'shogeg. A person's chayiv b'shogeg for any hezek that they do. So therefore, the fourth answer would be to be mazik b'deri is that we're telling Omer L'Gedor to now make him chayiv out even b'shogeg, right? Because Poshea will be k'shogeg, but he's even chayiv to pay, because we learned that Din Deraisa is a Din Deraisa. And again, as a fifth answer for fun, we ended up seeing that the Rambam himself actually holds that Mechitzah Karim Shnirfitzah, the whole sugya, is talking about one guy. It's not even talking about two fields. There's no hezek, there's no damage, no hezek she'in or nikah. That's all like talking about all those other Rambams that we saw. We're talking about in the Havamim, not the Havamim, but the other Tanayim that were referring to that this is a case of two properties. But the Rambam himself says that when he codifies it, he says you're not chayav achriyosa. So he's clearly not learning the sugya to be of two different people that have two different fields, but it's the same guy that has the same field. And it's this guy's own wall that falls down that all of a sudden climb's happening to. According to the Rambam, why are we saying Omer L'Gador? So that the guy himself knows that if he's going to be Messiah, now he created this climb on his own. So those are the five answers as to why we would say Omer L'Gador. Good. Now we alluded that seemingly there's machlokas about whether it didn't or me from just what we just did. Again, I'm just showing you all these sugyas are really all connected. Right? It seems like I'm flung, but we just went through like three sugyas. We're like four sugyas in already. Because everything is all connected. Everything is building on top of the other. So now we just saw that within those answers that we just gave about why we have to say Omer L'Gador, a lot of it was totally on whether you hold din or me, is it din deraisa or din derabanan. So we went back and forth, a couple of gemaras here and there, about why maybe you think din or me is deraisa for the Ramban, why maybe you think that din or me is actually derabanan. So I'm not going to go through all the gemaras, but I want to focus one Gemara because I think there's a lot of ideas that comes out and fundamental things that we can take from it. So that's something that maybe we could focus on, which is the Gemara from Bava Basra Chavez of the Shovet, where you have the Dovka, right? What's the case? Persons, we say that you're not allowed to go and intentionally put your ladder next to a guy's Dovka because maybe a weasel is going to run up and jump and eat the guy's doves. So you're not allowed to do it intentionally, right? But if a person ends up doing it, and the weasel jumps up and eats the doves, he's potter. Why? Because that's the case of Grama. And Grama Mizik is potter. So the Shaila of the Sugya is, why is Grama potter and Garmi Chayef? What's the difference between the two? They're both indirect damages. So why do we say that, right, the classic case of Grama is that case in Barabas Chabez of the Shobach, of the weasel now running up the ladder and eating the doves. So we say that's Grama and your potter. Why is it different than Grami? All those the Sugya of what? What's the classic case of Garmi? The sugya of burning the shtar, right? Where a person decides to burn the shtar worth $100, so we say you're not chayav to pay the $1 that the shtar is worth, but you're chayav to pay the actual $100 worth of it because it was indirect damage. Seemingly these are both indirect damages. So why are we learning that grama is putter and garmi is chayav? So we saw three answers to that. Two answers by the Ri, one by the Ritzvah. The first answer of the Ri is that garmi is when your own hand does the damage. So you yourself are burning the shtar. And now, indirectly, being mafsed the monetary value of that shtar. Grama, though, is not your hand doing the damage. The weasel goes ahead and climbs up and eats the doves. That's grama. That's why you're going to be punter. It's too far removed from you already. The second answer is that garmi is when the hezek happens instantaneously. It happens right away. You go ahead, and you're burning the shtar. The hezek happened right away. Boom. It's mafsed. But when it comes to grama by the weasel, you put the ladder down. You walked away, and 10 hours later, the weasel came up and went and ate the doves. So that's Grama bin Ezek, and that's why you're going to be potter. That's how they resize up the difference between Grama and Garmi. The Ritzvah, the third answer, says, actually, there's no difference. In the Hanani, you look at these two cases, they seem so similar. They're both indirect damages. Why is one Grama? Why is one Garmi? So the Ritzvah says over here, because Garmi is, the Chazal decided that we're only going to say that you're going to be chayef for Garmi, because those are considered common hezekim. When something is so common of an indirect damage to take place, so that's where we codify it in as garmi, and that's why you're going to be chayav to pay. But if something is not common of a hezek to take place and it's indirect, then it's groma and it's putter. So we said, you see from this machlokes between the Ri and the Ritzvah about whether perhaps it could shed light onto whether din derabanan is a din derabanan or din derabanan. According to the Ritzvah, seemingly din derabanan is a din derabanan. From the fact that he says there's no chilek between garmi and groma, and we just decide if the hezek is common or not common as to whether you're going to be chayav or putter. Then they're both according to the Ritzvah. And perhaps because the Ri didn't go down that answer, and he gave two technical answers that garmi is because it's your own damage, or because the hezek happens right away, and groma is because secondary, someone else is doing it, the weasel is doing it, or the weasel is happening later. So maybe he would hold that that's because garmi is a din deraisa, and therefore he has to actually have a good smarta to be mechalek between the two. So, and based off how you learn that, whether din garmi is a din deraisa or not, we also saw, as we mentioned before earlier, that played a role in effect of why we have to say Omer L'Gador. So now we're going to move on. We're almost done here. Of chiyuv al bal karim l'gador. The kasha in that sugya is why, at the end of the day, do we say that the bal karim is the one that's being the mazik, and the bal karim is the one that has to go and pay? There's two people involved over here. Isn't this Hechel Shechenim? And the whole Sugya of Lo Yachpor, that whole second paragraph of Asher tells us that it's Al Nizak L'Harachik Atzma. Rabbi Yossi says, Al Nizak L'Harachik Atzma. We paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So this entire Sugya, we should say what? This is Hechel Shechenim. They're living next door to each other. And it should be Al Baal Tzvot to be Marchik. Why do we say that the Baal Karim is the one that's guilty? Why is he the guilty party? So the Ramban, in Kutrish Didn't You Me, gives the first answer. He says, because Mechizik HaShneh is not a sugi in Hilchah Shechenim. We only say it's Al Nizek L'Av Kizatma when you're in Hilchah Shechenim. But everyone knows in Hilchah's Baba Kama, if someone's a real mazik, so it's whoever punches the guy in the face is going to be chayav. It's not the guy that got punched that he should have moved away when the guy was throwing the punch. That's all. That's a sugi in Hilchah Shechenim. Again, we saw tangent as to why that is, right? We saw the mention of the Nesivos and the Bikur Shmuel. We're going to touch upon that later, a little bit maybe. But here he says that Mechizik HaShneh is not a sugi in Hilchah Shechenim. The Ramban Kutcher Din Yagami says it's a sugi in Hilchos Nezikin. Why? Because of the Birkas Shmuel's word that what just differentiates between Hilchos Shechenim Hezekim versus real Hilchos Nezikin above Kama, it's when the Mazik approaches the Nizak or not. If the Mazik, if the damager approaches the damagee, the guy that's getting damaged, so that's Hilchos Nezikin. But if it's just Hilchos Shechenim, where they're not, one's not going to the other, so the boar going next to the other person's property and is just damaging the ground that's going to now mess up the neighbor's field. So that's not the mazik approach to the nizak. They're both getting affected from it. But over here, by in Baba Kama, it's where the mazik is punching the other guy. You're going into the nizak. So over here, the Baal HaKerem is the mazik. Why? Because last time I checked, the vineyard grows, right? Rebbe gave that muscle of Wrigley Field. Right? That's how you have to remember. Wrigley Field, the vineyard grows. It keeps going. But Tzvua, Tzvua doesn't grow, it's stationary, it sits there. So the case of the Chiz Karim Shneifritzah, the Baal HaKerem, the Mazik, right, is going to the Nizah, is going to the Tzvua. And therefore, we're going to go and say that the Baal HaKerem is going to be Chaya, and he's the one that has to be Ligdor. Because it's partial to Hilchos Nezikin, the Mazik is approaching the Nizah. Answer number two, by the Chayim Ramban, is, in Echanami, it's a good Kasha, and the Chiz Karim Shneifritzah is low Alacha. Because really, we should have said that's Alan Nizak. It should have been on the Baal Tzvot to be Marchik. That's a very simple answer. But again, how do we understand that it's Lola Lacha? We saw again a tangent on that part. That it's okay. You could say it's Lola Lacha and accept some parts because we do Paskin Din Yagrami from Baba Kama Daf Kuf. So again, first answer of the Ramban Kudosh Din Yagrami is because it's a Sugya in Nizikin and it's the Mazik approaching Nizak because the Kerem is moving to the stationary Tzvot. According to answer number two, Achim Ramban, why is it on the Baal HaKerem Ligdor? He's like, I don't understand. This got to be a Lola Lacha, because really it should be Alan Nizak. It should have been, on the Baal HaTzvot to move away. Answer number three is Tosfos and Baba Basra. He says, because although this is a Sugya in Hilchos Shechenim, we're still going to say that it's Al HaMazik. It's on the Baal HaTzvot to go ahead and move away, because even though we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that is Allah Nizak Baharchus as Asmo in Hilchos Shechenim. Even Rabbi Yossi agrees that in a case of Giri delay, when such an obvious damage is going to take place, that is Allah Mazik. So therefore, over here, this is a sugya of the Chitzikar Shneifritzah. It's a sugya of Giri delay. Tosfos says because the Baal Karim is going to go with his plow and is going to end up damaging the guy's field. So because it's a case of a Giri delay, so even Rabbi Yossi, who normally holds Allah Nizak Baharchus as Asmo, agrees that here in this situation, it's Allah Mazik Baharchus Asmo, and that's why it's on the Baal Karim, who is the Mazik, to go ahead and to be Ligdor, because this is a case of Kiri delay, and therefore he's responsible. No one would say in this case, even Rabbi Yossi and Hilchos Shechenim, that it would be Al Nizak. And answer number four, the Shita Rikabesa is quoting Rabbi Yonasan, which says that the Guf HaGafonim, the actual vineyards of a vine, are not Asr. Because the Pasuk says, Tvuas HaKerem. What's Tvuas HaKerem? The produce, the fruits, the grapes. Only the Anovim become usher when there's a mixture of klei karam, right? Of the karam going with the tzvua. And therefore, Hachav Ma'askinon says the Shittim Kibetzes, what's this sugya talking about of Mechizik Karam Shneifritzah? It's when, famously, Rebbe said, Ein Anovim Megefen. There are no grapes on the Geffen. There are no grapes on the vineyard. And therefore, because there are no grapes, nothing could become usher. Because the vineyard itself, as we just explained, is not usher when there's a mixture. It's only tzvua karam. It's only the grapes that are in the vineyard. So Hachav Ma'askinon says the Shittim Kibetzes, the tefua is connecting to a vineyard with no grapes. So the only one that's being mazik here is the Baal HaKerem, because his vineyard is damaging the tefua, but the tefua is not damaging the vineyard, because the vineyard has nothing else on it. Those are the four answers why it's going to be on the Baal HaKerem Ligdor. So then we went into the sugya of Harei Zekidish. This is the last sugya that we're going to touch upon today, which is, again, how long have we been going for? 44 minutes, perfect. Harei Zekidish, is this even a sugya of Klai? What makes clay? So the Gemara in Kedushin Lamates brings the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia, and we end up passing Rabbi Yoshia from the Hanik Fasa Sabis, the Gemara Brachos, that tells us that when is a person chayiv for klayim? You're chayiv ad shi yizrael chitu so'or v'chartza v'mapolas yad. You mean chayiv when a person goes ahead and plants wheat and barley, and he spreads and scatters it v'mapolas yad with his own hand. That's when a person is going to have klayim. So Tosfos says that we paskin like Rabbi Yoshia. So if we paskin like Rabbi Yoshia, seemingly we have a big issue. Because last time I checked, the sugya of mechitza karish difference, so there's no mapolas yad that took place. So why in the world then are we saying that there's klai karma happening? There should be no iser. So Tosfos says, yeah, this is also lo alacha. So we see two people so far that hold that mechitza karish nirpitzah is lo alacha. We see the achirim and ramban that hold that mechitza karish nirpitzah is all lo alacha, because really it should have been ala nizak laharchik ala mazik laharchik zatsmo, and therefore he was forced to go and say that it is lo alacha. And Tosfos over here too, where we said that there's no mapolos yad over here, and we pass like Rabbi Yoshia, so there should be no iser of klayim. So also he says, yeah, you're right, this is mechitza karam shnirpitzah, it's also lo alacha. But the Ran is not happy with that, because mechitza karam shnirpitzah, we've been learning it for so long, how are we going to let it to dry, and we're just going to say that you're not going to be chayav? So the Ran says, no, it is lo alacha. So how do you understand Rabbi Yoshia then, if we pass like Rabbi Yoshia, and seemingly there's no mapolos yad? So the Ran says, no, because mapolos yad is just there to give the gavra malchus. What makes an Isser Klayim is just if you have Shnei Mei Peros. Is if you have Tzvua and Seorim that combine with a Keren, then you have an Isser of Klayim. But you don't necessarily going to get Malkus. You're only going to get Malkus if you do it with Mapolis God. And where did the Ran get this right from? How do we know this? Because of Hamalaya. The proof is from Hamalaya, the Pasuk of the Gemara, and Pesachim Darshan's out from the Pasuk by Hamalaya, that if a person buys a field, and there already was a Klayim happening on that field, so once it's hosted Messiah, once it goes Messiah, we say you're now chayav, and it's going to be an Isser Klayim for you. Well, one post yad was there. It was already there. You didn't plant anything. So the Ran says, oh, Zebi Fedor, you see that you can have an Isser Klayim even without Mapolos Yad. So what is Mapolos Yad doing? Mapolos Yad is coming just from chayav Yimachus. The Rambam, very similar to the Ran, agrees that Mapolos Yad is just going to be there to create the Isser Nod to chayav Yimachus, but he just differs by saying that you don't even need Shnei Minei Peros. It's enough if you just have Chita and Karim. You don't have to have chita seora mixing with karam. And therefore the Rambam reads actually much better to our Gemara, because now you don't have to be mokim or case like the Ran had to, that hachamai askinon, where you have the karam is going into a field of chita seora. The Rambam reads it plainly, like we've always been assuming, that the guy's karam is now just going into a field of a singular tzvua, let's say seorim, and that's it, you're good, you're shun, you're good to go. So, now the question that we have to understand is, why do we have to say gedor twice? We just saw why different opinions as to why we have to say Gedor, but why now are we having to say Gedor twice? So the Re says, why do we say Gedor twice? Because we need Hashra to be Mechayiv in Medinei Mamonos. Right? Because at the end of the day, the Re goes down that this is the Gedor part is to be Mechayiv Mother, whether you're going to say it's because Dinei Gamiza is a Knas of Derbanon, and we're going to go the fancy answer of Rebbe, so now Poshe is Kishoge, and now it's going to make you Kilu, you're amazing because now you're now going to be your Mechayiv, because you could have learned that Dinei Gamiza didn't derive. So at the end of the day, you need a shor to be told to you twice to be Mechayiv you and Dinei Mamonos, according to the Re. Why, according to the Rambam and Ramban, then do we have to say Omer Gedor twice? So if you remember, the Rambam and Ramban, so according to the Ramban, why do we have to say Gedor the first time? It was to create the Isser Nah of Klayim. So, okay, so the Ramban is going to say here, you say overlook a door twice to give you hashra, to tell you that, by the way, you're not going to build this, you're not going to build the wall, you're now going to have an isser of klayim in with that you're going to be responsible for. And the Ramban would say the same thing, but a little differently. Because the Ramban learned that it's the guy's own field. Right? Don't forget that. The Ramban learned that this is the same guy. So why do you have to say overlook a door twice? So he'll say, yeah, because in Ramban, we have to tell the guy himself, listen, Omogador, if you don't build your own wall in your own property, you're going to have an Isser Klayim in your hands. So, being the Rambam, being the Ramban, it's to prevent the Isser of a Klayim, either for your own Klayim or for this other person that you're going to now be Mazik. And according to the Re, it's Mechayiv you in Dinei Mamonos. The Ashra is to be Mechayiv you now in Dinei Mamonos. Then we saw a last answer from Rabbeinu Tam of Kama Daf Kuf, that he says the reason why we have to say Omogador twice is to invoke the din of Kama Kama Batel. Because when we're going to say Omer Gedor twice, there's going to be a hefsik between the growth of the vineyard of the Kerem and the Tzvua. And when there's a hefsik, so then we can invoke Kama Kama Bato, there's going to be no Isser Klayim. We're going to be off hook scot-free. When do we not say Kama Kama Bato? It's when there's a continuous flow of the thing that's dropping in, and it's continuous flow, then we're not going to be able to invoke Kama Kama Bato. So that's why Rabbeinu Tam says we want to make sure that we're going to tell him, Omo Gador, so there's going to be a hefsek. And now we're not going to be able to say, all right, a little bit of Tzvua came and went into the Karam came and went into the Tzvua, and now it's Bato, and now more Karam came into the Tzvua, and now Bato. No, Omo Gador, make sure you're mafsik between the two, so we can invoke Kama Kama Bato, and we're going to say, all right, it was now Bato. Next Karam comes and tries to go, that's also Bato, and you're never going to be able to get to the Shear of Messiah. So therefore, we need to say Omo Gador to be able to stop it. So obviously, the next question there is, how did the Rabbeinu Tam know that we only say that we only invoke Kama Kama Bato when there's a hefsek between the two, and not if it's continuous? So we saw three Gemaras. Gemara in Darim and Zayin says that a person has, let's say, 7th year onion growing, so it's during Shemitah, so you can't do any business with it, it's also going out to you, and then you decide to keep it growing in the 8th year. So now you have 8th year heter growth growing onto this onion. So we say that it's now heter, and you're now allowed to use it once you have more heter growth of the 8th year than the 7th year. So the question there is, why would that be? Shouldn't we say Kama Kama Bato? That each drop of the 8th year heter produce should be now bottled to the Isra Shemitah from the 7th year. Second Gemara of Klai Karim, our case. If a person has Klai Karim happening, where you have someone's Karim combining with Tzvua, but there was a Mechitza between them, so there was no Isra Klai Karim happening because you had a Mechitza that was the stop between the two. And then what happens if it's a Mechitza Karim Shnirpa, so the wall falls down? So the Gemara there says, oh, it's Hosef Masayim, so now you're going to be Chayah for a Klai Karim. So again, why would we say that? Why can't we say Kama Kama Bato? Why can't we say, all right, now that the wall fall down, so now every new growth of this Klai Karim that's happening should be Bato to the original Heter growth when the wall was there. So you should never be able to be Hosef Masayim. It should be Kama Kama Bato. And thirdly, the Gemara in Shabbos of Dasa Mechai speaks about Mei Mikvah and Mei Mayan, whether or not you're allowed to use a river to be able to be Matahir. So the din is, by Mei Mikvah, which is rainwater, so you're not allowed to be Matahir. Mei Mayan, spring, flowing free water, so then you could be Matahir. So the Gemara there says, so by river, you're not sure, because a river is a mixture of river, Mei Mayan, it's a spring, and also a rainwater that falls down from Shemayim. So is it Rove Mei Mayan? Is it Rove spring water? Is it Rove rainwater? So the Gemara says, it depends. If you're in a river that you know is Rove Mei Mayan, so then you can be Matahir. If it's Rove Mei Mikvah, a rove of rainwater came into this river, so then you're not going to be Matahir, because it's rove rainwater. So, again, Kasha, I don't understand. We should always say that you should be mutter to use and be Matahir in a river. Because we should say Kama Kama Bato, that every drop of rain that falls into the river should be Bato to the Mei Mayan. So why don't we just say Kama Kama Bato and allow you to be Matahir? So this is Rabbeinu Tam's Yisod for all three answers, is because all those situations were continuous droppings, right? The growth of the 8th year continuously went ahead and was dropping into the 7th year. So therefore, we're going to say it's low bottom. And the case of Klayim, it's continuing, the new Hotzim Asan is continuously happening. So we say it can't be bottom. And again, the rainwater is now falling into the river. So we can't say Kama Kama Bottom because it's continuously happening. And when something's continuously happening, we don't invoke Kama Kama Bato, but we're going to say it's going to end up being Mistar. And if you think about it logically, right, this is the Ravid Shita. The Ravid is the one that holds of Kama Kama Bato. Because he says, imagine you have milk. So you're going to drop milk into a pot of chowin. So, all right, Bato. And then you're going to drop another thing, Bato, Bato, Bato. You're going to sit there, you're going to have a whole gallon of milk in your chowin. You're going to tell me, really, Kama Kama Bato, and I can still eat this chowin? That's a ridiculous thing. If something's continuous, you can't say Kama Kama Bato. So that's how the Rabbi and Tom learns all these three Gemaras and says that Kama Kama Bato is only said when it's not said when it's continuous, because again, it's really hard to understand. We're going to keep saying it's Bato, Bato, and imagine it's Bato when there's so much there. That's hard to imagine. And again, the Rosh disagrees. That's a side point. I and the Machlokes in the Rosh as to whether or not we say Kama Kama Bato. But for our purposes here, so because Rabbeinu Tam learns and holds of Kama Kama Bato, he says, why do we have to say Omo Gador? We say Omo Gador to create a hefsek. Because now that we create a hefsek, it's not going to be continuous. It's not continuous that the Karim is going into the Tzvua. There's going to be a hefsek. We can invoke Kama Kama Bato. There's going to be no Isser Klayim. Beautiful. What were other answers given, by the way, to the Shiloh about why these three Gemaras, we don't say that it should be Kama Kama Bato? So the Rambam said, not because of this continuous answer that Rabbeinu Tam gave, but the Rambam said, because you can't be mevatel nature. All these three sugyas, the eighth year growth of the onion, or the mechitzas karam, the tefillah and the karam are growing together, or the rain falling from Shemayim and going through, those are all things that Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing. We don't have the ability to be mevatel something that's in nature, something that Kadosh Baruch Hu puts into the world. Because by definition, if Kadosh Baruch Hu does it, that's Ratzon Hashem, it's supposed to be there. Who are you to come and be mevatel? You can only mevatel something that wasn't put in nature. So, okay, we can now say, yeah, this Yisr Chazer doesn't belong to my child. I can be trying to be mevatel if it's mevatel b'shishit. But to try to be mevatel intentionally something that Kadosh Baruch Hu did, that you can't do. So that's where the Rambam goes ahead and says that you're not able to in all three of these cases, you're not going to be able to invoke kama batel because these are all natures. So there's no partial vittel here. So we ask if that's true. So then saying the door should make no difference according to the Rambam. Because last time I checked, we just said mechitzas karam shervitza is something in nature. So the karam should never, and the two, they should never be batel with each other. Who are we to be mevatel in the two? So why then, according to the Rambam, do we have to say omel gedor? So, you can say any of the other reasons. You can say, because the violin, right, it's creating the Isser and all. Because Eina Hanami, you building the wall is not going to prevent the climb. There's going to be climb that happens. Right? He doesn't hold of Kama Kabatel in this situation. Only Rabbeinu Tam could, because he learns the continuous part. Right? So, according to Rambam, because he doesn't learn about the continuous part, but he says that you can't Mamata Rotsan Hashem in these three cases, and that's why there's no Parshin Bittel. So how does he understand why we say Gedor? So any of those other reasons of Nechus the violin. Lastly, we saw the Chidush Rabban, he gives a third answer as to why these Gemaras were not allowed to invoke Bittel in this case. What does he say? He says, because you can't mevatel Heter. And all three of these cases are Heter. You have Heter rain falling into the right? Nothing's inherently wrong with rain. You have Heter rain falling into the river, so you can't be mevatel Heter. And you have two Devar Hamutar Mifnei Atzmo of Tfu and Kerem. That those two come together, you can't be mevatel heter, and you have this eighth year growth of heter produce. We're trying to be mevatel the heter eighth year growth of produce to the Isra'na of the Shemitah. So there we say that you can't go ahead and do bittel because all three of those cases you are trying to be mevatel heter, and you can't be mevatel heter. As an aside, why can't you be mevatel heter? So we saw those fancy answers, the Rambam Chana, the Oneg Yontif about Shmira Tzitzis Lashma or Matzah that was made Lashma. Again, those are fun, nice side on this points, but to not get lost in the sauce, as people like to say, we have to now get back to understand here, Chidush Rambam, you can't be mevatel heter in these situations. Why? Because if there's no characteristic, so what do you mean mevatel? You only mevatel something that has a negative characteristic, right? When you have something, when you have chazer in the challenge, so that's something that is usher, it's something that you don't want. So you're trying to be mevatel it, right? When we do bittul chametz, it's ka'afr the hour. We don't want it. We want it out of here. You want that little chazer to be out of your chalent. But for something that's good, for something that's inherently a tova, it's a heter, a rain is something that's good. You're going to come and be mevatel something. Well, you can't be mevatel something that's not bad. So if that's true, so why, according to the Rambam, do we have to say omel gedor? If in this situation, again, it's going to be heter. So you're not going to be able, just because you're going to build a wall, it's not going to be mafsik the bittel. It's you're never able to be mevatel klei karam of the tefillah and the karam mixing together because these are two things that are dvarim heter. So the Ramban, Chidush Rambam says no, because when do we say you can't be mevatel heter? That's in general that you can't be mevatel heter, but you could be mevatel heter beidayim. Why could you be mevatel heter beidayim? Because if you think about the whole svara we gave, we said you can't be mevatel heter because it's something that a person generally wants. So who are you to be mevatel something that people want? You can only be mevatel something that someone doesn't want, like chazer in your challenge. But if a person is going to be mevatel heter b'yadayim, he's demonstrating the chuli amla to the entire world that he doesn't want this heter in his life. He wants it out. So to him, it's something that's negative at that moment. And therefore, says the Chidush Rambam, we're going to say omel gedor because he's going to be able to then be mevatel the heter because when he goes and builds the wall, he's showing, I don't want this these two divine mitzvahs to come together. I want these to be batel so that they're not going to be mosif masayim. Again, the Chidush Rambam also could have fell back to any of those answers. So that's pretty much the sugya of Dina Digarmi. We really ran through a lot over here. So if you have any other questions, feel free. Find me, WhatsApp me, you know where I am. And Mirch Shem, you guys will be Matzliach on the Bechina. I'm sure you guys are going to do very well. These are very, very, very fun sugyas. Loaded, loaded, loaded stuff. Have a great day.